Join me in Genesis chapter 3, and I will share with you just in a moment the first 10 verses, yes, through verse 10. Note the title of the sermon, Are You Hiding From God? I'd like to share with you the devotional material that we had while we were in Harlan this past week. And so for those of you who are on the team, this will be a refresher, reminder, material, although I do have one point to add at the end for those of us on the team, and material for all of us to consider. Each morning, we got up early and had breakfast at 6, and then devotions thereafter, and we're ready to hit the job by 7:30. And so a part of our day, every day, was good fellowship. Eddie led us in some singing, and then this study. And it was, and it is, it continues to be, it is, a penetrating question for all of us, especially those of us, probably, especially those of us who feel ourselves secured and in the church and have things figured out. Well, I want you to consider seriously this question. Are you hiding from God? Listen as I read to you Genesis 3, 1 through 10, and the first hiding from God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of God's word. Adam and Eve hid from God. Why? Why did they hide? Well, it's very simple. It was their sin. They became aware of their utter nakedness. They became aware of their overwhelming need before a holy and righteous God. You see, Satan was right in this regard. When they did eat the fruit, they did become aware of sin and of the things that are righteous and of their nakedness. They did become aware of what was good and evil. Satan lied to them, but in that part he had right. You see, the story of God and the human race is a story of hide and seek. You remember the game as you were a child. As a child, I loved to play hide and seek because when we play hide and seek, the whole neighborhood was open ground. And there was 20 or 30 houses in the neighborhood. So when you played hide and seek, you may be lost for hours. And this poor soul, whoever was it, had to find you. And we may be a quarter of a mile away. I love to play in a game of hide and seek. You would go hide, and whoever was it was burdened with finding you. And we could hide pretty good in that neighborhood, and I'm sure you remember the games you played, hide and seek. Well, the game of hide and seek is very reminiscent of what we are experiencing with God, except God is it. And we are the ones playing the game of hiding many times. John Ortberg writes, "Often those of us on a spiritual journey think of ourselves as searchers. And of course, there is a certain truth to this. We ask questions, we read the books, we attend the classes. We look for truth that often seems elusive, but that's not the whole story. You see, I am not just a searcher, I am also a hider. You too. We must come face to face with our tendency to hide, with our tendency to get lost." So the questions here are simple, and these are the ones I pose to the mission team every morning. Are you hiding from God? Now, not necessarily as a small child that might hide under the table, hiding from their parents or hiding and playing the game with their grandparents, nothing that physical, nothing that overt, but is there a part of your life that you have subconsciously or maybe very consciously said, "God, this is mine. This is mine. And you're not a part of it"? Are we unwilling to allow ourselves to be fully known by God so that He might have His way in every part of our life? Or is there that peace? That part of our lifestyle, that part of our relationship, that part of my thinking, that we say, "No, Lord." Isaiah 53:6 states to us, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Yes, that's true for all of us. Yes, we have all gone astray, and if not for the love and the work and the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, that lostness would be still a part of who we are. But is there a part of our lives that we are allowing to stray and have no interest in it being found? Once again, from Ortberg, "The irony is that I hide because I'm afraid that if the full truth about me is known, I won't be loved. But whatever is hidden cannot be loved. I can only be loved to the extent that I am known. I can only be fully loved if I am fully known." Everyone in this room wants to be loved. You may term it differently. Everyone in this room wants to be accepted. In some realm, in some circle of friends, in some area of influence, in some relationship, every one of us, it's a part of us, we want to be accepted. We want to be wanted. But because of pains, because of discouragements, because of disappointments, because of what someone said, because of how someone may have raised us, how someone may have instructed us, we turn away. Also, our pride, our sinful self-driven motivations, our ambitions to be standalone men and women may cause us to draw away. And in that hiding, whatever and however it might be in your life, in that hiding, we are denying ourselves the opportunity to be fully loved. To be loved by those around us, but more particularly, to be loved by God. Because being loved fully, that is risky. Being loved fully is risky business, because there indeed may be parts of your life that other people don't like and they don't mind telling you. There may be parts of you that disappoint others And it's a part of your ambition to please them. And so what you are doing is hiding your trueness, taking on a cover, and trying to be acceptable to those around you. Folks, that's a form of hiding. Because if someone loves us, they will love us for who we are. Now, that doesn't give us license, and that doesn't give us the latitude to act any old way. There are proper expectations. But being loved fully is truly risky. But if you've ever experienced true love, then the risk is always worth it. We had opportunity on the mission team to talk about the long-running play and movie, The Phantom of the Opera. Many of you have probably seen it, at least in the movie, maybe the play. In the story, the Phantom wears a mask. And he wears a mask to hide his horribly disfigured face because of an accident earlier in his life. And he lives in the bowels of the opera house. And he's there to hide. He's there to hide his presence, and he's also there to hide so that he doesn't have to come to grips with the misdeeds, the actions of his life. But there's a woman that comes into the play. There's a woman who comes into his life. Her name is Christine. And she touches his heart. And if you've seen the story, you remember that at the climax of the story, the mask comes off. He gets to a point where he's tired of playing the game of hiding. And in that moment of removing his mask, he comes to grips with who he truly is. And he is willing to risk that to be known and to be loved. He allows his ugly face to be seen. And you might imagine he would expect for Christine to run off in terror at the ugliness of his face. But if you remember the story, what does she do? She didn't run. She just reached across and took his face and kissed him softly, kissing the very scar that had caused his hiding. In that moment of being fully exposed, of no longer hiding, her love changed who he was. He was able to stop hiding, and he realized real and true love there for just a moment. Folks, that is what God is after. That story, that scene is a picture of us in our ugly sin and in our hiding. And God, through the work of Jesus Christ, softly kissing us on that ugly scar and says, I want you out of hiding. Because you see, for love to penetrate the hard heart that we many of us have, we must come out of that hiding. We must take off that mask. The Apostle Paul was one who took off a mask. Apostle Paul wore a mask. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul was one who wore a mask. He wore a mask of religious activity. The Apostle Paul was raised to believe that religious activity, the cultural traditions, if performed properly, would place him in good standing before God. You know the story. We read it often. Philippians 3, the latter half of verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. The mask of religious works that he lived behind, that he was taught, that said, if you do these things, if you live this life, if you put up this facade, then you will be right with God. And Paul did those things religiously. Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of the tallest order. Yet when he came in touch with Jesus Christ, although Jesus didn't kiss him on the cheek, he knocked him off a horse. But he came in contact with Jesus Christ. And the mask came off. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. We were like Paul. Many of us are like Paul. We go through our religious activities. We come to church. We do our things. Now, these are all good until we put them in the place of saying, this is my badge. This is my place of honor. And you go through the list. I asked many people to tell me. I said, tell me about your relationship with Christ. Many will respond with the same line. I can almost quote their line to me before it comes back. I said, tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And their response goes something like this. I have gone to church, and they'll give me some number of years. My mom and daddy always took me to church. I was in church, always. Not realizing that they have yet to say anything about Jesus Christ. Their badge, their mask, is the activity in the church. Now please hear me. We are to be in church. We are to be involved in church. Church is where we come and we worship together as the body of Christ. This is a right and good place to be. But if you depend on that activity for your salvation, then that's just that facade. We, like Paul, need to take that mask off. Our masks, our hiding must come off, because in order to be fully loved is to be fully known. To be fully loved by God means that we're willing to take off that religious activity and come to church and come to be a part of church, because as John says, to love God is to follow his command. That's why. That's why. To be fully loved, the mask must come off. The last 2 days of our devotional time in Harlan, we discussed the little man Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as you know the song, was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Yes, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But I don't know that Zacchaeus ever thought that Jesus wanted to see him. But Jesus did. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to your house. Zacchaeus, if we can read between the lines, if you'll excuse me and let me sort of read between the lines a bit. Zacchaeus was hiding in many ways, because you see, Zacchaeus was a sinner. And everyone in the community knew he was a sinner. He was a tax collector. And he abused the people badly. He was the chief of tax collectors. And so we might imagine that Jesus would not want to have anything to do with this man. But go with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 5. Go with me to Luke 19. We might expect him to say something like, Zacchaeus, if you clean up your life, if you get yourself right, then I'll come home and eat with you. But no, what did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? It's recorded in Luke 19, verse 5. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. You see, Zacchaeus didn't have to clean up his life before he came out of hiding to meet Jesus. In his hiding, Jesus found him. For you know, in reality, Jesus knew Zacchaeus long before Zacchaeus was aware of him being known. And in all reality, in all truthfulness, it's the same with you and me. Jesus knows you. He knows your hiding place. He's it, and he knows exactly where you're hiding. Because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus as God, knows more about you, and he knows more about me than I know about me. He knows you better than you know you. So truthfully, when we hide, who are we hiding from? I heard it. Ourselves. We're playing a game with ourselves. Are we hiding from God? Who was Adam and Eve hiding from when they rushed off into the bushes and tried to find the biggest leaf they could find quick to cover up something? Who were they hiding from? God asked the arbitrary question, where are you? Do you think he didn't know? No. He was asking for their truthfulness. He was asking for their truthfulness. Did they know where they were? And they lied. They did not confess. As a sinful man will do, as a sinful woman will do, they blamed it on each other. It's that woman you gave me. Well, it was the snake. No. You see, Adam and Eve were hiding from themselves. They were hiding from the honest position of integrity that God desires. He asked where they were to see if they would be honest. When we hide parts of our lives, we're not hiding them from God. We're hiding them from ourselves. We're lying to ourselves that this will be okay. You know, God doesn't really care about this part of my life. As long as I do all this over here, this is good. Or we believe in God's grace, and we abuse that grace. In our hiding, in our sin, we say, oh, well, he will forgive me. Well, that may be true, but sin has consequence. Sin has consequence. So I ask you to ponder this. Are you hiding from God? No, let me re-ask that question rightly. Are you hiding from yourself? And hoping God doesn't know about this place or this act or this part of my thinking. Folks, we don't play games as adults very well. And it's time to be truthful and honest with ourselves and say literally, completely and fully, I need Jesus Christ in all parts of my life. I need him to be in everything I do. I need his work through the Holy Spirit to clean out every part of my life. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of wearing the mask. I'm tired of being everything else everybody else wants me to be. I'm tired of playing these games. I want to be me. I want to be me in Jesus Christ as he desires me to be. Time for hiding is over. Remember the game hide and seek we played as children? Remember the little phrase at the end of the game? Ollie, ollie, oxen free. We really don't know what that means. Ollie, ollie, oxen free. It was a phrase that simply meant, you can come home. You're free to come home. You're free to come out of hiding. You're free to be yourself. You're free to come home. Well, Jesus is calling out. He's calling out. Where are you? Come home. The time for hiding is over. I pray that you have the desire to come out of that hiding.